Tonight we have a chance to say, yeah, you're right. We're too extreme. We're too wild. We're too out of control. We're too full of our own shit. Or we have a chance to say, hey, fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right. Because you have all made it to the dance. Because believe me, this is the dance.
All right, we are here with the debut slash introductory segment or episode of the Politicking 101 podcast. Not only is this special in a sense, but we are proverbially popping Ty's podcasting cherry on this episode because he has never ever stepped foot or sat down on a couch and talked into a microphone for the world to hear.
That is very true. I'm very nervous right now.
I can tell. But to give a little backstory on this podcast, me and Ty are two North Carolina promoters that do pretty good for ourselves, I'd say.
You speak for yourself, Ben. I suck.
But we've known each other for, what, probably 5 or 6 years now?
Not longer than that.
Longer
probably,
than that?
Let's see. 2003-ish?
No,
I wasn't even running in 2003.
Well, I mean, but I knew you before you ran.
No, I don't think so.
When we trained. We'll get into all that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it. You want to call that training, yeah. But wow. I forgot about that.
But and we'll go into this story of how me and Ty met, became friends, and teacher student esque. But we do basically with this podcast, we're going to introduce the world to who we are and what we are about, and our views and opinions on professional wrestling, because everybody's been on our case about putting out a podcast that is all professional wrestling. And there's so many out there that we don't want to get lost in this shuffle. So basically, we're going to do exactly the opposite of what every other wrestling podcast does. And that is sit here and give our opinions and not break down every segment. Yeah.
Can I get drunk and do
this? Yes. You are more than welcome to get drunk.
As long as I can drink, I promise you'll be the most entertaining thing ever.
I believe that. But we're going to sit here and we're going to give our opinions and give our thoughts on different anything and everything in the world of professional wrestling.
But Patrick, I don't think they want to get my opinion, because my opinion right now, my opinion on pro wrestling is it's very 50-50.
Exactly. That's why we need to talk about it, because we could possibly open up people's eyes to the greatness that is some parts of professional wrestling today, or the shit factor of most very, very public professional wrestling companies that are out today.
Yeah, it's a lot of shitty ones out there too.
So what we're gonna do is we'll tell the story. We'll start. We actually, before I get into all this, everyone needs to understand that we step foot into this living room that we're in without a script, without any topics at all. We're just gonna sit here and talk, because it's pretty damn entertaining when me and Ty and a few of the other guys sit down and talk about wrestling, and it can get very heated, and so hopefully some of that translates onto this podcast, as we will be joined by a guest maybe today. Who knows?
You can never tell what me and Patrick is.
Exactly. No one knows. We'll throw out some dates, put over our own products, and then we'll get into the story. That's the real purpose of this podcast.
We're going to put over Pro Wrestling Evo and Premier Wrestling Experience, two of the hottest and greatest wrestling promotions ever on the East Coast. And if you don't believe me, come buy a ticket and check us out. And if you don't like us, fuck you.
Exactly. That's why this is called Politicking 101.
damn right. I'm going to politic. I promise you, it's going to be 101, 102, and 106, 108, 115, 125, 140, 141% politic in here.
In other words, you're going to have a politicking degree after you finish this podcast. Once again, you are listening to Podcasting 101. Woo!
That should be the name of Podcasting 101.
How not to podcast. You're listening to Politicking 101. And then my name is Patrick Wright, and I'm joined by Ty Dillinger.
No, this I'm not.
Ty Sean Williams.
Yeah, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work everybody. Ty Dillinger is a little piece of shit. But
okay. So Patrick Wright, and I will use my working name, and you use your real
just call
name.
Me Ty.
Ty, by Patrick and Ty. But we have an interesting story, like of how me and Ty became friends, and.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah, exactly. my and what's going to be funny is my take on it and Ty's take on it. But I'll start. The way I remember this is I was up at High Spots one day talking to Mike about something.
Was High Spots? Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, we're not. I'm not going back to when we trained.
But that's the fun part. I want them to know how we trained in the
I don't home. Really remember.
I remember because I got shit on. I remember.
I remember like when me and Big Country, Matt Crosby, trained. We're getting trained in a glass shop in China Grove, North Carolina. We would go train.
Wait a minute. Let me stop
okay,
you.
Okay.
Let me stop
Let's
you.
Hear it. Let's hear it.
You don't want to tell the good part of the story.
I was getting there. I was building it.
The people that was training us, let's see. WCW superstar Lodi.
Don't talk bad about Lodi, man.
I love Lodi. I love Lodi. But he treated me like shit. It was, I remember it was this huge ring. But no.
20 by 20, old NWA ring.
No, got to go back, Patrick. It was before that. I know where I first met you at. It was at Johnny Blaze's show.
Nice.
It was Johnny Blaze's show. What was it called?
ACW.
No, it was ACW.
ACW, All-Star Championship Wrestling.
That's where I first met you at, because Big Country was wrestling. I think you wrestled there.
But I wrestled once. No, I'm sorry. I wrestled twice for him, because whenever I came in, as it was in most promotions, whenever I came in and started wrestling, they
that's because he wanted to get into kiddie porn or whatever.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I'll say it. Okay. Which is, you know what? I'd laugh at him and knock him, but you know what?
He's making money.
His porn business.
It's not, and for the record, it's not kiddie
it's
porn.
It's not kiddie porn.
It's porn, but it's not kiddie porn.
Might as well be porn. He gets one of the teenagers and they turn 21, he dumps them. So what's the difference?
But that can't be, because that was,
was the first time.
Because Matt went into ACW and then won their belt. And then when I came into ACW, I was the mystery opponent for him in Charlotte in First Ward Rec Center.
I thought that was the one. I thought you was the mystery opponent in.
And that was.
Remember the little shitty school they ran in Norwood?
Yes. Were you at that show?
Yes.
I did wrestle Matt. Zach wrestled on that show.
Did he really?
Yes.
I don't remember Zach. I just remember, I think it was it Mad Superstar and
it was
the Barbarian?
Maybe.
It was the.
Was it in Norwood? Yeah, because it was like a Stanley County school.
Yeah.
And it was like the school had 400 people total in the whole school. And it was like 150 of those people that showed up.
I remember because.
Okay, I remember that now.
And I think it was the last show that he ever ran.
Yeah, it was.
Because. I don't know what happened, but he had a good thing going. And
he'd run Charlotte and pull 300 people.
Yeah.
Easily.
The black kids. I remember they used to have nachos boiling at the door.
At the West Charlotte Rec?
Yeah. But then he should have stayed there, but then, and this is where politicking 101, the first lesson. Don't listen to people. If you got a good thing going somewhere at a rec center, if you run shows, he had a real good thing there. I mean, the kids, they was aggravating, but you know what? He was drawing probably 300 or 400 people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, whether the race or not, whether it was black, white, Indian, or purple, he had them there, but then he started listening to, I'm not going to name names, I know who the person is. Oh, we got to get out of this neighborhood. It's too bad over here. Nobody's going to come over there. But how can you say nobody is going to come to a bad neighborhood when you got 300 people there?
Exactly. You're making your money.
Yeah, and then you go downtown where they jacked her in a
First Ward.
Yeah.
It's like in downtown Charlotte.
Right, and Patrick is right. Remember, it's right down the street from Time Warner Arena.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was just they raised the rent. It was hard to put the ring in there. I watched guys.
You had to go down this long hallway, make a right-hand turn.
And then I remember it was so big, and they cut it in half. And it was like, but, you know.
But he pulled 300 people there.
Yeah, he did good. And I don't know what happened.
But there's no way he was making as much money because the rent for West Charlotte was like $300.
And I think over there it was like $700. I think it was like $700.
I mean, and it's – but he had a good product. But so we met there. Are we wanting to talk about the training stories?
Yes, it was entertaining.
Because I don't remember much of it. I remember that we used to go every Tuesday night and Saturday morning.
So I never went on a Saturday. See, here's what I vaguely remember about.
Because, like, this whole scenario is going to be completely different from my perspective and your perspective.
Well, see, you was doing it longer than I have.
Well, because, like, Jeff, the guy who owned the building and everything.
Jeff Justice.
Dated my cousin. For like 7 or 8 years.
So wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. Let me politic here for a minute.
Okay.
So you was getting free training while I was paying.
Yeah, probably.
You asshole.
But I didn't get completely free training. I covered some, but I don't think I paid as much as everybody else. I never asked. Oh. That was before I was smart to the business.
That's because I was paying your calls and my calls.
But so I wasn't the golden boy of that. But I was. I mean, it wasn't. There wasn't really a golden boy, but me and Matt were like.
Yeah.
Because it was just me, Matt, and Dean. You remember Dean? Real little guy? He might have been gone by the time. Because I remember you came through a few times. And then Dean was there for like maybe 2 months. And then he couldn't take it. Then some guy that played hockey for the Checkers. Came in. I mean, real stout and tall guy, but then he left because he got hurt. And it was always me and Matt were the consistent ones there.
See, when I got there, I remember you and Matt because I knew you're right. We didn't meet before that because, AC.
This was before ACW.
Was it? No.
Yeah.
It had to be
yeah. It had to be.
No, because he Michael from High Spots.
Yeah.
He was Ethan. Well, Ethan Cage.
Yeah, Ethan Cage.
He was wrestling because that's how I met him.
The whole crew.
You started coming
was up there. Was Jeff, Lodi,
Johnny Blaze, Michael,
Ethan Cage,
you,
Kenny. I don't know Kenny's.
Yeah, Kenny.
Kenny that
Michael's
was
partner.
Mike's partner.
Homies with attitudes, by the way. Cheap plug.
Yeah, exactly. FUBU jerseys.
Yes, the wannabe public enemy.
Yes. And there was some Indian guy from Spartanburg. Used to come up.
What, Jay Eagle, was it?
No. But he wrestled at Eagle's place. He was a little skinny guy. He was a pretty cool guy. But, like...
Was it, I think I know you're talking about, because I found this kid, No, it wasn't.
No, he was an older guy.
Okay, no.
Like, probably in his... Not older, but, like, 30s. And I remember Colt Steele used to come by.
Fag. Go ahead.
But, I mean, he always had a perfect flat top. Am I lying?
No, you're right. It's a reason
perfect,
for it.
Yeah. Perfect. Every time I ever saw him.
He stayed on his knees.
I remember Danny came by one time. Danny Cross.
CWF?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
And me and Matt did the it goes way back. Me and Matt did the flip pile driver. And he's like,
"Are you talking about the Canadian Destroyer, Petey Wims, pile driver,
flip pile driver?
it's Petey Wims,
the destroyer.
Which, by the way, I'll cheap plug here. I'll give it a big country. Before I saw, I didn't even know who Petey was. Wims was, and still don't to this day. Joking, but
I'm pretty sure you booked him before.
I probably did.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. So if you hear this, Petey Wims, I'm not making fun of you, but
very nice guy.
But before I saw you do it, I will say I saw Big Country do this move, and I was like, "This, excuse my French." I was like, "This fat motherfucker is pulling this move off," and I'm like, "Holy shit!"
Oh, the story behind that is unbelievable. Because for the record, I did steal it from Petey Williams.
See, I didn't know that.
But it was like with the first time he did it, it was when I was a huge mark for TNA when they first got started.
So TNA was on the air at the time?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this when they was on, you had it on pay-per-view?
No, yeah, this was when they had the like,
funny story about that. Let me tell you this funny story before.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Well, this is when I really liked TNA, and I was living in Statesville, by the way, and I had a problem paying my cable bill, so, and I had a DirecTV. So every Wednesday, I would order the pay-per-view. And then I would call the cable company. Don't do this at home. This is politicking wrong right here. Then I would call the cable company like, I didn't get to see the pay-per-view. It messed up. It went out. It blacked out. So
nice.
I never had to pay for the TNA pay-per-views. So finally, they caught up with me and was like, sir, we didn't show no outage out in your area last night. I was like, well, I didn't see my pay-per-view. Well, so they went back and back charged me for all the pay-per-views.
Nice. Never paid it.
They made me pay because the WWE pay-per-view was coming up, so I wanted to watch it.
Gotcha. That's the way they always get you.
Yeah, when something good's coming on, I want to see it.
We did steal the move from Petey Williams. But we were at training one night, and they were like, okay, we're done here. Y'all can mess around for a little bit. So all of them are out there sitting outside the ring at the little table talking and everything.
The dust.
And, with the paint. Bro, yeah.
We was getting high training, y'all. I will tell you that. Yes. Every time you take a bump.
Yeah, this training was in the back corner of a glass shop where one of their main sources of business was painting the big RVs. And like, all you could smell the whole time you were in there was paint.
That's why I don't remember quite a lot right now, because I was high.
And there was dust everywhere. So you'd hit the ropes and dust would fly up. You'd take a bump and dust would fly up. It was awesome.
I think it was Angel's Dust, but that's...
Maybe.
I was high.
That might be why we perfected this move.
That's probably so.
But we... So, I was like, Matt, let's try this destroyer, Canadian destroyer, because that's what it was known as at the time. And I had looked it up. I had studied how to do it. And the way it started was, like, he would set up for, like, the pile driver deal. He would jump. Like, we would go in, like, slow motion, and I'd stand straight up. And then I would fall back, and he'd land on his back, and I'd land on top of him. So then we'd do it again and got a little quicker. Then do it again and got a little quicker. The next thing you know, flip, boom, and everybody's like, holy shit. Don't ever do that shit again. And it took us probably, who knows, man, like 3 months before they'd let us do it in a match. You should never do that, because everybody was old school. You should never do that shit, except for Johnny Blaze and Ethan Cage, who Ethan/Mike was, I guess, watching a bunch of Japanese wrestling at the time. Yes. And he would try all this crazy shit.
Lucha, that's him.
And we'd be like, I have no fucking clue what's going on. But this is like he'd wrap our arm and put it like in our leg, and then do a little hip toss and suplex.
That's him.
Which I loved. Like, and Johnny of The Rock, Rock Jr., did like, if you watched a Rock match, you knew exactly how to wrestle his match.
I wish we had a video. I would definitely, you know what? I think
Highspots has a video.
Yeah, if you go to highspots.com, I don't know if it's still on the site, you get the best of Johnny Blaze and HCW.
Nice.
And you will see this, highspots.com. For all, cheap plug, for all your wrestling needs, DVDs.
We need to get Highspots to sponsor this thing. Not if I'm talking about Mike's Lucha obsession.
But it's funny you mentioned that, because that is how I met Michael. It was through Johnny Blaze. They kept talking about how they're going to start High Spots. And they have a wrestling school. Well, they already had High Spots because I brought my first championship.
Yeah, because when we were training, Mike was running High Spots at his house.
Yeah. And he said, we're going to get a school. We're going to get a school. And I kept hearing it's a school. Here, my introduction real quick is in the story here, how I got started in wrestling. And this is the do's and don'ts. I saw a sign one day. It was PWF. And it was George South and the Stallion. Yes.
Yes. Love Jesus.
Hallelujah. And then, gotta love them. And so, I never forget. God, I forget the story. I was living in Rock Hill at the time. This was 1997. PWF, I think, was still going. This is when they had the little store or school off of Central.
I wrestled there. Really? Off of 601 in Concord.
No, not that one. This is when
they
were still.
The one where there was like, the ring was like a foot off the ground.
Oh, we got stories for that one. I can go all. Oh my God, you shouldn't even bring up that building up. Oh my God, this might. We have to save that one.
Two words. Tony Polk.
Tony Polk. Oh my God, bring some name. Jesus Christ. Let me finish this story all about right, the garden.
I'm sorry.
Because I can talk about that building. For,
yeah.
I remember wrestling that building. It was lightning outside, and then lightning hit the fucking ceiling. The power, we had one light up there, and it went out.
Beautiful.
And George was like, "Don't worry, that's just my pyro." I'm sorry.
That's awesome. I can just hear him say that. That's my pyro.
That's my pyro. That's all. Let's keep going. It'll come back on in a minute. And then.
Was there a crowd? Five yeah. people? All family members?
I don't think it was even five. No, actually, this night he had a good crowd because it was Ricky Morton was there.
Oh, my God.
And it was raining.
How far has he fallen?
Bad. To the depths of hell. But then it was raining in his building. And, oh, my God, it was like a puddle right there.
No, I mean, to give people an understanding about this building is... You walk into the – it's like a small supermarket. Not even a supermarket. It's like a small, store. You walk into the front door. There's about four rows of five chairs on the right and left of the door, of the walkway from the door. You walk about 10 feet into the building, and there's the ring.
10 feet? I think 5 feet.
The ring is standing a foot off of the ground. Now, if you jump – from the ring with a 30 inch vertical, your head will go through the roof. Now, it gets better. On the other side of the ring, it has a little back door, or not back door, but a door that goes into like some offices and stuff. To the left, when you're standing at the front door and looking to the left, is a sliding glass window that has blinds pulled down to where a jukebox conveniently sits below it on a table. And then in the back was one of the back was a bunch of his memorabilia, was it not?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the museum before it was a museum.
Yeah. So. And not to overlook how shitty this building was, he had an excellent window graphic on the front window.
Yes.
That said George South Training School.
Yes. Yes. It was.
With pictures of Ric Flair, the Stallion, George South, because God bless, don't put anything up without his picture on it.
He's got to be a. Oh, man.
And I think like Steamboat.
He loves some Steamboat. Poor gosh, he loves some Steamboat.
If you don't believe me, go to a George South show and look on the side of his truck or van.
By the way, another cheap plug, he has his book out now. It's called...
I actually am kind of interested in reading his book. Have you read some of it?
I will say this. If you have heard all his stories, that is what his book is about.
Oh, okay. But I haven't.
But you will enjoy it.
Because you guys have had the George South experience.
I don't want the George South experience.
But I have, I know George here and there.
All jokes aside... He was a good person. What is the title of his book? Wait a minute.
I can't. I saw that it was out.
It's called Daddy Something, You're a Wrestler. Or something like that. But he names all.
We're trying to plug your book, George.
I'm trying, George, but I all I know is got George South picture on it. But from what I hear, it's a good entertaining read.
He does, to his credit, he does have some good stories.
He does. He does. Some of the best ones are off camera and off video. But
yes.
Speaking of politicking, he is very much politic. He is the king of politicking 101.
We need to have him on this show.
Oh, man. We'll be saved by the time it's over. But let me finish with this story. I got to finish with this story. I'm sorry.
All right. Go ahead.
And so I was in my car. My transmission went out on 77 headed towards Charlotte. And my little Chevy car, it was my second car I ever had. And my transmission went out, so I never made it to the Central. Well, probably like 2 years later, I was riding, I saw a banner, Live Pro Wrestling, NWA Legends, Concord, North Carolina. I was like,
George South.
Yep. And sure enough, it had at the bottom, contact George South. And I contacted him, he said, come on, buddy. And he said, come on. And I want to train to be a wrestler. I want to train. And he charged me $3,000. And I said, George, I don't have $3,000. Don't worry, we got payment plans. And I'm like, okay. So I was just going to be a referee. And I would come and bump five times, get up, bump five times, get up, bump five times. And then I was a referee for the shitty shows. And I'm not talking bad about George because everybody should have their experience with pro wrestling. And this was right before, believe it or not, I got into church. And I think George was building me up to have my first match. And I was the heel referee. To his credit, he gave me, it was the first time George hooked me, but it was free. He gave me, and I would never say nothing bad about this. He gave me a Bobby Fulton Fantastics jacket. And I thought that was great.
Nice.
But until I found out it really wasn't. It was just something the Angel Valiant made and gave it to him. But
nice.
But the story was still valued as good. And I left.
What people don't know won't hurt them.
Yeah. And I left and got involved in church. And that was – and I didn't see George anymore until probably to that crooked promoter up in Lenore was running, Tony Hunter. And Tony Hunter had a good thing.
He didn't pay anybody.
Yeah, and he's got too big. If he would have stayed in Lenore, he tried to get so big. And that's the problem. I will say this enough for all independent promoters who is listening to this podcast. Stay within your reins and your budget. Don't listen to the wrestlers. I'm talking to myself because I've been there. Don't listen to the wrestlers. Don't listen to these other cockamamie assholes out there trying to tell you need to do this and do this. If you got a successful thing going, if you're drawing 150 to 200 people and you making money, which is very rare on independent wrestling, fuck everybody else. Stick to your guns. Stick to what you're doing. Keep your formula because it will get noticed eventually.
I agree. Talking that to that.
That's the truth. This is politicking 101. It's politicking 101.
I agree. When I'm about to spin.
But that's something that's different because you're going out, you're investing. You got a successful thing. You've tucked in and you watch my mistakes, you watch everybody else's mistakes, and you learn from that. Not saying that everything that you're going to do is going to be perfect, but you learn from your mistakes and you grow with it.
Like run on a Sunday against the WWE pay-per-view.
Well, it happens. Well, sometimes you can beat WWE pay-per-view sometimes.
Yeah.
But not that particularly one.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's – and I tell
us I agree 100% with you.
It is, you know, I get so – and this is why I get so passionate about it because I love wrestling. This is why I said at the beginning of the podcast I am 50-50 on it because – like this Saturday coming, I got a good show. I think I got a great lineup. I'm really happy about it. I got Caleb Conley versus, you know, Davey Richards. If you're in New York, South Carolina area, this might not air in time, but hey, I'm going to plug it anyway. You got Davey Richards versus Caleb Conley. You got Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly versus Eric Rowe, who's an up and coming guy that just needs the right break. And I think he gets it with Evo, and now he's finally getting it with me. Rhett Titus versus Cedric Alexander. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think. And then you got Adam Page versus Eddie Edwards. And right there, those four matches alone, right there, I will buy a ticket.
It's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, $10, by the way. You know, if you get it ringside, it's $15. But if you get it early, it's $10. The day of the show is $20. And that's what I say. You get good wrestling. There's some more promotions out here that I like. I will give CWF Mid-Atlantic a plug. I think they have... they just got a new building, so I can't say if it's nice, but I know it's going
to
be nice.
I'm anxious to see the new building.
But whatever they tell me, they said they're going to have, like, posters and everything in it, like nice. LCW.
Yeah.
So, you know, do I agree with everything that they do? No, but that's wrestling.
We never – any fan or promoter will never agree on something that someone else does.
You know, do you want to talk about wrestlers? I'm ready to bury some fucking wrestlers on this politicking 101. I'm sorry. You have to understand, I'm the heel of this group. Patrick's always going to be the good guy.
I'm the nice guy. 95, 96, 90, maybe 97% of the time.
I'm 125% hardcore. I'm going to shoot. As this podcast go on, and you can tell, I get so ramped up and I get popped up and I'm ready to go with it. It's like, we can talk all night. I know we only got I don't know how long we're going to talk tonight.
Hour and 20 at max.
See, hour and 20, see. But that's enough. We'll save that for next week, talking about we're going to play the name game, because I'm going to play the name game.
Okay. Well, that'll be the topic for next week's. We'll talk about wrestlers that we've encountered through our years. And I've encountered a good bit, but I'm sure that you've encountered more. Because you've been promoting a lot longer than I have.
I'm counting some assholes. Some
we have good stories.
Oh, my gosh.
Ty has very, very good stories.
Need a lot of alcohol.
But I'm in agreement. And you know my philosophy. We'll go into this this chapter is when me and Ty finally met and became good friends. This is when I was outside of High Spots, and I had done a DVD cover, some DVD covers or something for Mike.
No, and I remember exactly how this happened because it's one of my favorite stories. And I'm going to put you over this one time, Patrick, and I ain't going to do it no more.
All right. Sounds good. Glad somebody will.
He came into High Spots. What did you come to get a DVD or something?
Probably.
Because you was wrestling for High Spots. You had just stopped wrestling for Chester.
Yes.
And I would not give him a cheap plug. I will not give him a cheap plug. Shitty wrestling.
That's the only person ever in my life that has made me hate wrestling.
Have you seen his TV show?
No.
Oh my God. It makes me if I'm telling you
I've heard that his TV show, you have to go out of your way to see it, and I'm not going out of my way to see it.
Let's just put it this way. I can drink a bottle of Jack, a bottle of vodka, and a bottle of Jaeger, and still could not watch it.
Nice.
That's how bad it is.
So somewhat like TNA. I'm kidding.
They're trying.
TNA's gotten better. I watched it last. What night does it come on?
Thursday.
No, seriously. In all seriousness, I watched it last Thursday, and it's not as bad as it used to be. So they're making.
But you know
headway.
What's worse than TNA? Mountain of Honor, formerly Ring of Honor, yes. Because Jim Cornette has fucking.
Because
it's the truth. I'm gonna speak the. No. It's the truth.
I'm not gonna. I want to edit you because we're trying to work some deals on getting some people.
All right, Patrick. It's still Mountain of Honor, okay?
I agree 100%.
My opinion, though. It's just my opinion.
You have to understand. I'm trying to figure out how I want to say this. You have to understand that me and Ty have seen this from the inside. We're not fans or marks that watch Ring of Honor and see it, like, see the storylines, and it's our judgment based on storylines.
Right.
Me and Ty have been on staff.
Yes.
With Ring of Honor in this past year and a half. And we have seen what it was before Sinclair Broadcasting.
The decline.
And what it is now with Sinclair Broadcasting.
It's the decline.
So when we tell you stories about Ring of Honor, it's not from a fan base mindset. It's
right.
From a, like, we were on the inside.
Right. I was being a little harsh. I will be nice. This is the first time and only time that I would be nice. I'm not going to knock it. Because I was not a fan of Ring of Honor. I was not a fan of it. But when you go back and you hear so much about it and you start watching the older tapes when Gabe was booking it, when Adam Pearce was booking it, I think, and then who else was after Adam Pearce?
Hunter came after.
And then Hunter came. It was great. I'm telling you, I was like, wow, I cannot believe.
It was. Go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt you.
No, I was just burping. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to interrupt you, but I'll let you. I know.
But, you know, and please, if anybody hearing this, you know, disagree with me, please feel free. I mean, this is just my opinion. And I was like, dog, this is so great. I cannot believe I waited. And then when I think back and I look at the Samoa Joes, the CM Punks, the Brian Danielsons,
exactly,
the Austin Aries, this is what they created. And then when I look now, and I'm not saying, you know, Jim Cornette is killing it. I'm not saying that. But you can't take an old school mentality and bring it to something that was so
crisp and new.
Yeah, and it's now they stood for honor. You know, that was the thing. It was honor. Now you got it coming in. I think the last pay-per-view, I mean, just my opinion. I'm just saying it. Border Wars when Kevin Steen won the title. That used to be such an honor to win that title.
Exactly.
To see him win, to have the finish of that match where he hits his head on the turnbuckle, exposed turnbuckle. Of all the title matches I've seen, I've never seen it happen in Ring of Honor.
You look back. If you look back at the past three title matches or three title changes, you have, I think I want to go back to Eddie Edwards beat Tyler Black in Manhattan Center.
Mm-hmm.
That blew up on the internet right as soon as it happened because it was so special. Then you come and you have Davey Richards, a 1-year storyline, capped off with him finally doing what he wins his title or he quits type, you know what I mean? And it was something special. And then you have the opportunity to bring it full circle with a guy who carried the company for one full year, then was gone for one full year, and bring it full circle. And because you are so scared to put him over clean, you do a shit finish like that, and it just kills whatever buzz you could have created.
Yeah, and I was like, he's the hottest thing. I mean, he was the hottest thing. I mean, I am the biggest, I will say it right here, I am the biggest Kevin Steen mark ever. And to me, I thought it was a shitty way to put him over.
Yes,
in his hometown, you should have put him in his hometown. He should have went over clean.
If I now, and we're not doing fantasy booking. If I was booking that match, what I would do is I would have Kevin Steen hit a package pile driver.
Mm-hmm.
Davey Richards kick out. Kevin Steen going ape shit. Davey Richards just flip flop Davey Richards gimmick. Davey Richards kicks him in the side of the head, goes for the kill kick, whatever the hell he calls it. Missed it, like Steen ducks, foot goes over his head, Steen jumps up, kicks him, package pile driver again, 1, 2, 3. That whole place goes ape shit.
Yeah.
Something that simple.
But and that's the thing that's got me to the point where it's like, and it goes back to what I said, I'm 50-50 on it. It's because it's people. We'll do the name game next week, but because I got a lot of names that I can say they think they're helping wrestling, but they're killing it with their old school mentality. But, you know, and hey, God bless them, because I think all they want to do is correct the paycheck.
Well, you see, this is where I'll play devil's advocate, is I think the old school mentality, like old school Southern mentality, like Cornette brings to the table everywhere he goes, will work in some areas. But when you have built your whole product based on a strong style / more realistic reality, like not really reality, but story base, then you can't backtrack to the old school mentality. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And it's just, I think that is where, that is a funny thought in my head. But that is where a lot of people mess up. They're so consumed in their mind that their way of wrestling is right, and they don't know how to change with the times. Now, with saying that, I'm not saying that what Cornette has to bring is wrong, because you can take that, like Smokey Mountain for example. Smokey Mountain did great in Knoxville and these small, rural towns.
Yeah, where people are accustomed to it.
But when you get into like New York City, Chicago, where they don't care about that, right? They don't care. They want to see two guys beating the shit out of each other.
Exactly. I mean, if you went to Hammerstein Ballroom, and you have a 35-minute old school strap match, it's not going to get over. You know what I mean?
No.
But if you have 30 minutes of guys kicking each other and no-selling and hitting brainbusters on the top rope, then the crowd's going to go apeshit. All about the demographic.
And you know, now on the flip side of that, I saw a match, not naming the match, but to me, you kill the wrestling move. It's like I saw a match where they did a superplex. It was in New York City from the top rope.
I think I know what match you're talking about.
From the top rope to the floor. Superplex.
Oh, no, I don't know that.
And I was sitting here like, it was that Final Battle.
It was
Eddie Ellis versus David Richards.
They did a superplex from the top rope to the floor?
And I was sitting here like, okay, that should be, when I was growing up watching wrestling, a superplex was a finish of a match.
Yes.
But then I saw this, and they got back up, and that still wasn't finished. They went like 20 more minutes. I was like, this is the part of wrestling that makes no sense to me.
It's all about finding that perfect mix, like combining these two elements of what wrestling used to be and what wrestling is today. And if you combine that perfect mix, then you pull all fans no matter what demographic they come from. And boom, there you have it. But don't get me wrong, it's not like you can just pour two different kinds of alcohol into a cup and it makes the perfect drink.
Nah, because it won't. It really won't.
It's damn near impossible to do that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's just, I was there for that match and I was sitting there like, that's, oh man, they just killed every finish in the book.
Exactly. It's the same concept as someone, there was another match that I read about where a certain someone previously named in the match with the superplex no-sold a nut shot and then pinned somebody.
Man.
And I'm like,
see, and that's the thing. And I don't want people to think it sounds like that I'm bashing. It's not that I'm bashing. God knows I'm not bitter. It's just, to me, it's the fundamentals of basic wrestling, things you don't do. That's one of the reasons I like the name Politicking 101, because it's giving an insight of a fan. Now, it could be somebody else out there say, oh, man, that was the best match ever. I paid to see that shit.
Exactly.
But I guarantee you, sit down, and here's another thing. You can't get the people of this generation now, to this era of wrestling, to watch what I watched back in the 80s, and it was so good. And to me, I could sit here and watch Ric Flair and Barry Windham right now and think it's the best match ever. But some people, they want to see David Richards versus Kevin Steen or David Richards versus Eddie Edwards.
Exactly. I agree. And that's so, just the difference that...
And that is our special guest.
We're going to stop and let them talk, let them bark a few times.
All right.
We might go ahead and wrap it up.
All right. That works for me. But.
How many dogs we got here?
It's two.
Is it your dog and.
His name is Max and my name is Mason after another famous wrestler.
Yeah. Mason Ryan?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's the dogs telling us to wrap this thing up. But we will continue next week on our Ring of Honor talk.
Oh, man.
And we'll play the name game association.
Can we talk about Dragon Gate?
We can talk about Dragon Gate.
Can we talk about Evolve?
Yes, we can.
Because I got some shit to say to you, Gabe.
Yeah, well.
No. It's the name game. It's the name game. It is the name game. I have nothing to lose.
I have no say in that. Ty is his own man.
That's right. Patrick Wright has nothing to say, but I got plenty to say about. No, I'm not going to bash Cable. I'm not going to bash Sal. I think they're. I'll wait the next week to get into about that.
Yeah, but we'll get into that. So next week is going to be a can't miss episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode with the dogs barking in the back at the end because
trying to steal my spotlight.
Trying to take your spot.
That's what it is. Trying to take my spotlight.
But this is Politicking 101, and I am Patrick Wright. At PatrickWright83 on Twitter.
I am Tyshawn Williams at Tyshawn Williams on Twitter.
You are not at Tyshawn Williams.
Yes, I am.
Twitter.
I changed my Twitter name.
Did you? That's why. Not Hard Times TD?
No, because I got tired about making fun of me talking about Hard Times got an STD.
Nice.
so I just made it at Tyshawn Williams.
So this is the official announcement. You have a new Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah. It's at Tyshawn Williams. Please don't hit me up because I hate idiots.
Hit him up. Hit him up all the time.
But you can follow me at PWX Wrestling 1 on Twitter. That is PW Premier Wrestling Experience. And you can follow Patrick Wright at Pro Wrestling Evo on Twitter.
Yes, or you can visit Ty's website.
Premier Wrestling Experience, I think.
Is it pwexperience.com?
Yeah,
pwexperience.com. Experience being experience. Or you can visit my site or my company's site, www.prowrestlingevo.com. Ty's got a big show coming up Saturday, June 2nd, York, South Carolina.
Yeah, it's called Leader of the Pack. And while I'm right here, I will make the...
Go ahead and give the plug.
Let me give the plug for PWX.
Throw the plug in there.
It's going to be Leader of the Pack, and it's got a phenomenal card, but... I will go ahead and give you the inside scoop, the full scoop, that the crowd, nobody knows until Saturday when I announce it. But finally, we working with Patrick in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I had a little TV episode, but I never was able to bring TV to South Carolina. So on Saturday, starting September, whatever the first date, Sunday is in September, PWX will be on TV in 8 cities and 3 different counties, 30-minute show every Sunday night at 6:30.
Which I'm helping Ty work with. Yes, it. It'll also be available on YouTube.
Yes.
The Monday after it airs on Sunday.
Yes, and so everybody check it out. And if cheap plug, I want to plug my friend because I'm very, very, very excited, and I'm very happy for him live and in stereo on Saturday, June the 30th, for the very first time. This is history in the making. I got to plug it the way Ty Shine. Well, let me get Ty Dillinger mode here because I have to plug it. This is so important, and I want everybody to, only for $1.99, $2. You can't even get a Happy Meal for $2. For $1.99, for the first time ever, this company that only started a year ago. How old is it? Was it 1 year old?
A year and a half.
A year and a half is going to I Pay Per View on June 30th, live and in stereo, baby. You can't miss it. You don't want to miss it because it's going to be the greatest thing ever. We're going to show you the world, and we're going to look at you on I Pay Per View and tell you, welcome to Pro Wrestling Evo.
I love it. And also, this is I'll shoot into Ty's plug for me, but we're doing something that's unprecedented with the iPay-per-view. It's been done before for somebody to offer it for $1.99, but the reason we're offering it for $1.99 is so people can take advantage and just take a chance on $2 and watch our product, because you have my word that you're not going to be disappointed.
We
have been working for the last 2 months building to June 30th. And when I say we've been working, we have been like day in, day out planning this thing, getting everything set up, getting everything lined up, have perfect alignment of the stars. And it's an unbelievable card that's going to be announced next week. But not only that, but everyone that buys a ticket to the show, whether it's a general admission ticket, a front row ticket, any ticket, will get to watch the iPay-per-view for free on Evo On Demand.
See, you can't beat that.
So I'm not, because, and the only reason I do that is because whenever I'm at an iPay-per-view, like for take Evolve, I'd like to go see it. Or, well, I won't say Evolve because they're running the same night. Say a Ring of Honor, boo. Ring of Honor. If I'm at a Ring of Honor iPay-per-view, I would love
to go home
and watch how it transpired on my TV or my computer, because you don't get that same feel when you're there live.
But you know what I'm gonna do, Patrick? While the pay-per-view is going on, I'm gonna have a laptop in the back. I want to see it because I saw somebody at a Dragon Gate pay-per-view. And they was looking at it because I kept saying, why they're wrestling live on the show, but they got their laptop and they're watching it. But it makes sense. I said,
you're watching the matches.
They want to see the matches and see how it looks. And I said, so on June 30th, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to have me a laptop. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to have a couple of beers. Probably see me in the front row. I'm going to have a couple of beers and a couple more beers and a couple and a more, couple more beers. Beers and a couple more beers. And I'm going to be there to witness because Patrick's is my friend. We don't always agree, but I'm very, very damn proud of him. He took, and let me say this, Patrick. I left and moved away. He took something that I had started and transformed it to his vision, because he always used to tell me, I'm going to start. I'm going to start.
I'm going to start.
And I was like, okay, Patrick, okay.
Yeah, everybody shit on me.
And I was like, okay. And then finally, I was living in Jacksonville, and he said, I'm going to do it. I was trying to talk him out of it. I was like, don't lose no money.
That's all you're going to do. That's all I ever heard. That's all you're going to do is lose money. And they were right.
But you didn't do that. But, I think it was like another year and a half. And then finally, I was back in Fayetteville, and all I kept hearing about was Evo. I said, who the hell is Evo? And that was Patrick. I did not come to a show. I think the first show I came to was, no, it wasn't Follow This. It was,
I think it was This Is Wrestling, wasn't it? Where Marcellus.
It was Caleb and Kirby. I remember.
Yeah, This Is Wrestling. No. Best Show in Town.
Was that it?
I have no idea. Is it sad that I don't know the matches? I believe it was. Was it
the show before Evo 8. I remember. No, it was the two shows before Evo 8.
It was the show that. Was your first show the show that Cedric and Marcellus had the?
Yes, because I remember I was drunk and I hollered out, and I never forget those famous words: "Knock his ass out, yeah. Marcellus." I was hooked, and I was like, and I think I missed the Knicks when I was really pissed off about that, and I missed the Knicks when I was pissed off about that.
He's out of town.
Yeah, I was out of town, and then I think I missed the Knicks one after that.
You suck.
And I think I came back to.
You came back to the last one, didn't you?
No, I missed that one because I was at Ring of Honor.
No, you came back to Epic.
Yes. I watched the rap. This is Epic. When I say Evo.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah, what was it?
Kim Light.
When I say, if I say. When I say.
Evo.
Yeah.
Evo.
And it was the first time I seen a rap come to the ring. I was like, I thought it was PNU's reincarnated, but that was just me. But it was good. But
it was something different.
No, it was good. It was good. And
it was something new, entertaining, entertainment.
Inventive. Yes. And that's why I did not knock it. I was like, different. And it was different.
It's good to know people in the music business.
Yeah, I wish I knew. I'd be booking these Tremont Halls and all that stuff. But,
exactly.
But no, you see, I can't say enough about Pro Wrestling Evo, how proud of Patrick I am. That's one of the things I hope we talk about this one day on a topic. Is so much jealousy goes around the independent scene where you see so many friends turn against each other because everybody's, oh, I'm in competition. Don't go work for Patrick, or don't go work for Ty, or don't go work for Burlington, or don't go work for this guy. And it shouldn't be like that in wrestling. If I can give any advice, because I used to be that way when I first started.
And I'm the most unjealous person ever.
Yeah, because
ever.
Because you're confident in your product. And you know, if I can say one thing I finally learned, I learned this from Patrick, why compete? I run my shows down in South Carolina. I run Charlotte's like a little spot show, but I do all my storylines in South Carolina. I'm working on something now that I said, I told Patrick today, I said, if it works, I said, we're going to do a joint show, you know, in Charlotte. It's too big for one person.
Well, it's just like I always tell you, I have the mindset that I'll go back to this. And I know we said we were going to wrap about 10 minutes ago, but the dogs quit barking, so we'll keep talking.
Yeah. You're going to have to edit that all out.
I was blasted. Like, my company was blasted for something that is completely out of the ordinary for me to do.
That was entertaining, though.
And I'm going to put this out there. And the dogs are telling us to take it home again.
That is my dog, Mason. Don't pay him no attention.
But this isn't Patrick Wright's mindset. This is Patrick Price's mindset when it comes to Pro Wrestling Evo and PWX, Pro Wrestling Experience, and any other company in the world, for that matter, is I believe that we should all work together to create the best wrestling product we can.
Right.
Because if we get everyone that was on board in the 90s on board now, then we all make money.
Yeah.
It's not about me putting Ty out of business. It's not about me putting Manny out of business. It's not about me putting CWF out of business. It's about us finding ways to take these talents that we are surrounded with and making them bigger and better than ever. That way, when you book them on your card, people are going to come see them.
Exactly.
And that's why I get so pissed. I don't even get pissed. I just get upset with people when they say I do crooked stuff. And
can I tell the story?
You can.
Can I tell the story?
It's fun. But it's just like I try so hard. And people and this is so rare in the wrestling business is I try so hard to do everything clean. Like to be as clean as I can and to help people as much as I can. And for just people to go out there and throw stuff out there like you're about to tell the story.
Because it was entertaining.
And I'm like, okay, but yeah, you tell the story because you were the third party in this.
I was on vacation. Well, not on vacation. I was in Chicago and Dayton. Chicago, Illinois, and Dayton, Ohio. And I didn't know what was going on back home. I get off the plane in Charlotte, North Carolina was it Monday morning?
It was a Monday.
Monday morning at... God knows Patrick must have been a teleprompter or something because my phone rang as soon as they said you can turn your cell phones on. I turn it on and Patrick is calling me. I'm like, why is he knows I'm out of town? And I said, what's up, man? He was like, You ain't gonna believe this shit, man.
Change the names to change the names to.
I won't say that. I won't say the company names. Okay. But it was better. Like, you ain't gonna believe this shit, man. I was like, you better get your boy. You better get your boy. And I was like, I said, Patrick, let me get my bag. And I said, get off the plane, and I will call you right back. He said, all right, call me back. So I get up.
That's typically how our first conversation goes in the day. Patrick, let me wake up. I'll call you back.
And okay. I get off the plane. I get outside the airport. I call Patrick back. I said, what is going on, man? He said, you better get your boy. Going on Facebook accusing me of tearing down his flyers.
I ain't done shit. I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
And I'm sitting here like, well, I know that's a lie, Patrick. I said, you don't tear nobody's stuff down and put your own posters up because you don't put posters up.
Exactly.
And so.
Awesome.
And so I said, Patrick, I said, my phone is dying because I said, but let me. I said, let me check. You know, let me find out what's going on because I know the other guy.
Now, the reason I was just slightly upset at the situation is because I had paid attendance. Like, I didn't call anybody and say, get me in for free. I took me and one of my best friends and I paid
$14
for me and him to get in to support this product.
Which
and,
is shitty.
And for the record, I don't have any heat with said product. But because but I'll let you finish the story. It all got fixed rather quickly.
But
go ahead. But so I don't want people to think that I'm sour towards these people because, like, once again, I will reiterate.
No, you're not sour.
I am in this to support everyone that's in wrestling so we can all build a better product for the Carolinas area.
So
continue the story.
So as I get off the phone with Patrick, Caleb Conley pulls up and picked me up. And I was like, man, as soon as I get in the car, I was like, what are you doing with that flyer, WrestleFest flyer in your car? And I said, did you see this shit that
said individual. Say said individual.
Oh, I ain't care. I'm telling a story. Manny. Manny put on Facebook about Patrick. And
he's gonna have heat with me after this.
I'm
not telling this story. I'm fine with
Manny, this. There's no heat, but it's funny because
it's just something to laugh about because it was all a big misunderstanding.
Because Caleb. And I said, Caleb, I was like, what are you? I said, why are you doing? He said, yeah. He said, that piece of shit. He said, yeah, that piece of shit.
Thank you, Caleb, for taking up for me.
Yes, he did. He said, I did it. He said, but I didn't pull his shit down. It was already on the ground. And he said, so that's why I put on Facebook and told the motherfucker, if you got a problem, you need to shut the fuck up and come talk to me. And so now keep in mind, I had just got off the plane back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I got Patrick calling me. You check your boy. And then you got Caleb. And this is all over Facebook. They heard a fight.
Yeah.
Because Manny, somebody took his flyer down.
Somebody took his flyer down and put up a flyer for a complete different company. And he thought it was my company. Let me reiterate this point. I don't put out flyers for my company.
Let alone, it was, and the place he was talking about was down in Charlotte.
In South Charlotte. I run in Concord, North Carolina, like 20 or 30 miles away.
And so then, so then Manny.
Long story short, Manny took it down.
Well, but before that, he put some back up directly towards Caleb. And he said, I know you took it down because I sat in my car and watched you do it.
Then why in the hell did he call me out?
Because he lied. Because God knows I like Manny, but Manny lied. He was not there.
And Caleb
was like, you wasn't there. He said, because people were taking their stuff and throwing your stuff on the ground. I saw him.
Blessed day. See, so, I didn't know that.
No, that's why I laughed.
Last I heard, I sent him a message and just basically said, that's not how I do business. I came and supported your show because, like I said before, I support the whole wrestling product. Whether it's shit or not, I support all wrestling product to try to make it better.
Needless to say, Caleb will never be booked on XWW. But it was so funny. That's why
Caleb will never be booked on
But But that was so much fun about that, because I just got off the plane. And I was like, what is going on? I was tired. And I was like, Patrick is blowing the phone. Caleb is fussing an excursion over. Who took down a flyer and put the other flyer up?
And
now everybody's all happy.
As always in the wrestling business.
That's what I'm saying. Is welcome to
Politicking 101.
Yes.
Yes. Good plug. All right. Well, that's what we're going to end you with, or end this podcast with. But that right there is the type of stories you're going to hear on this podcast. And this one is just a taste of what you're going to get, because this was basically set out to introduce me and Ty to people that don't know who we are or not from the Charlotte, York, South Carolina area. So,
are you going to tell everybody where I live at, man?
No, I'm saying we run.
See,
this
is what me and Patrick disagree at. I like
it. We run the promotions in the Charlotte, York, South Carolina.
Oh, but you tell me about where I live. Don't tell me I live in Charlotte. I live in Mars or somewhere like that.
We're in Atlanta, Georgia, recording this right now.
What? That's got to be a black town. But why couldn't be in Florida, Tampa, Florida?
I thought I was the blackest person in this room.
You probably is.
you probably is. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Check us out. We'll release this. What's a good day for you, Ty? Every Friday.
Yeah.
Release it every Friday.
Every Friday.
Every Friday. Right here on iTunes.
Search your mamas.
Politicking 101.
You tell your mamas and tell your sisters. Woo. I'm too sweet to be sour.
Exactly. Good plug. I like it. All right, guys. Thanks for checking us out. We'll see you next week.